Scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and encouragement which the Scriptures give us. And may God, the source of patience and encouragement, enable you to have the same point of view among yourselves by following the example of Christ Jesus, so that all of you together may praise with one voice the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God will help us as we reflect on that passage, that his Holy Spirit will convict us of what it is we need to hear and take on board in our lives. Lord God, we do thank you for your word, and I pray that you would reveal your truth to us. Help us to hear what it is that you have to say to us personally and corporately. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the theme of this passage is pleasing ourselves or others. And I want to do a little bit of a recap, only very briefly, before we get on to chapter 15. Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at chapter 14 of Romans. And the theme was about not judging other people and not being a stumbling block. Verse 21 says this of chapter 14. But if they have doubts about what they eat, God condemns them when they eat, because their action is not based on faith. So I'm reading verse 23. Let's start again. The right thing to do is to keep from eating meat, drinking wine, or doing anything else that will make your brother or sister fall. So the issue really for us is, are we judging others about what they do? Because actually we shouldn't be. We should just be looking and examining ourselves. Or are we, by what we're doing, causing others to stumble? Being part of a church, and this applies to a family, but we're talking about the church family. Being part of a church family means actually having, if you like, a new mindset. It is not about what do I want, what's for me. That's the way the world works. Being a Christian means actually being part of a community and seeking the best for others. As I say, you know, the world, it's all about you. We went to the Harvester last week, actually, and, you know, on the menu, it's got exactly that. At Harvester, it's all about you. And that's actually the society we live in. It's all me focused. It's all about what do you want. You're the one that's important because you're worth it. Okay, is the L'Oreal advert. Because you're worth it. Now, there is, of course, truth in that. We're all worth it. God loves us all. We're all precious in his sight. But the adverts, it's about you. You know, you are the one that matters. You are the one that's important. Please yourself. That's the way the world works. You know, person of the year, you. Yes, you. You control the information age. Welcome to your world. It's all about you. That's the world that we're living in. It's about pleasing ourselves rather than pleasing others. What does Paul say in chapter 15? You who are strong in the faith ought to help the weak to carry their burdens. We should not please ourselves. Instead, we should all please our brothers and sisters for their own good, in order to bring them up in the faith. We should not please ourselves. Instead, we should all please our brothers and sisters. Is that the way the world works? No, it's not, is it? Thank you, Amy. I like a little bit of comeback now and again. I don't even mind if you disagree, if you're right. That's okay. You know, the reality is the world is about please yourself. Do your thing, even if others get hurt. The Christian way, and here we've got it, it's Paul saying it's in the scriptures, is about pleasing other people. Now, it's quite interesting, actually, that if you look at chapter 15 and verse 1, other versions put it slightly differently, and I think possibly more helpfully. We who are strong ought to bear the burdens of the weak. That's NIV and RSV. And the idea of bearing the burdens of the weak actually has those two sort of connotations. One, you bear a burden, you carry it. And the other is that you bear with somebody, you endure or tolerate that person. And chapter 14 made it clear that we had to tolerate and accept those who have different views to us. As you know, it was on the subject of meat eating. We're not to say, you're wrong, you shouldn't eat meat, or you're wrong, you shouldn't be a vegetarian or whatever. It's actually about understanding, accepting and tolerating others who have a different view to us. The reality is we all think differently. We have different views about things. If you live in a family, right, then you'll know that people operate in different ways. Some people do not mind leaving the sink full of washing up. They'll say, what is the problem? I will do it when I've got time or when I've finished doing something else. Okay, but you're thinking, that's horrible. Look at that mess in the sink. Why don't you wash it up as you go along? Okay, because you're one of those people that think everything's got to be put away nice and tidy. Now, there'll be some leave the mess in the sink people here, and there'll be some, let's put the dishes away, make it all nice and tidy. Is one wrong and one right? Yes. I knew I shouldn't have asked that. Right, shall I ask, who's the leave the mess in the sink brigade? Anybody want to confess? There's a few out. Well done for being honest here. There's several of you. Most of you have put it away. Okay, what about this one? Clothes on the floor. Okay, now, some of you shaking your head, Len's shaking his head, thinks it's a bad idea. Thing is, when I go to bed, okay, and I take my clothes off, if I put them away, I don't know where they are in the morning, do I? You know, just imagine that they're all hung up. I think, where's my pants gone? Actually, I do change. Well, right, some things do change, okay, other things I don't. And they're on the floor, ready for me to get into. Okay, is one wrong and one right? Yes, but we are going to think differently about things. We don't always see things in the same way. That's because we're different. That's the reality. There isn't necessarily a right and a wrong about these things, in spite of you shouting out, yes, there is. There isn't, actually. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm one of these wash up and put stuff away type of people. But doesn't really matter if you leave them in the sink. Is it hurting anybody? Right, okay. Accumulating germs and whatever. All right, okay. In all honesty, there's lots of things that we get fussy about that don't actually really matter in the end. So what's Paul say then, if I'm right and it doesn't matter? What's he say when he says that we should have the same mind or the same point of view? Verse 5. And may God, the source of patience and encouragement, enable you to have the same point of view among yourselves by following the example of Jesus Christ. Is Paul saying we should have the same views about things? Does he think that actually, we should all think, let's go for the organ and sing in hymns? Because some people like that. See, we got one vote for it. Maybe even more. Might be a lot of people that actually like singing hymns by the organ. Others will say, oh, no, 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 can't have that. You know, the proper way to worship God is let's all get excited and lots of choruses and guitars and drums and everything. Is that right? Is one right and one wrong? No. It's not about one being right and one being wrong, because we have different views about things. We're different. That's the reality. If you live in a family, you'll know that in a family, you'll think differently to one another. Let me give you a bit of a personal example of how it works in our home. When our children were younger, and some of you know, I've got three boys, and we used to go on holiday quite often to Norfolk. And when you've got younger children, they have views about what they want to do, especially as they're getting a bit older. When they're really little, you can more or less say to them, this is what we're doing. And they might moan a little bit, but as they get bigger, they tend to moan more. And I don't know if you find that, perhaps that's just our household. Okay, so we used to go to Norfolk. And one of the things that Andrew, that's my eldest, would really want to do, and we usually succumb to this, was to go go-kart racing. That is what he liked to do, right? Just go go-karting. And as you can imagine, Mary thought, great. You know, there's nothing better than going round a track at 40 miles an hour in a go-kart. No, she didn't think like that. She thought, let's go to the bookshop. Because for her, there's nothing better than going to a bookshop, especially one like that, where they've got new and second-hand books, and you can have a cup of coffee. This is heaven on earth to Mary, right? Now, you can imagine our three boys thinking, Mum, what a good idea. We just love it, you know, sitting in the bookshop, having a cup of coffee, just letting time pass by. Can't think of anything better. It's not like that, is it? We like different things because we are different. And likewise, in the church, we're not all going to like the same sorts of things. Some of us will like traditional worship with an organ and a choir. Some people will like very lively, charismatic, Pentecostal worship because we are different. We are not going to see things in the same way. Even over theological issues, we are not going to see things the same. There are godly men and women in the church who don't believe that prophecy and tongues are for today. There are godly men and women who do believe that prophecy and tongues are for today. There are godly men and women who believe that it's okay to baptize babies. There are godly men and women who don't think it's right to baptize babies. We don't all see things the same. The key issue, right, is this one. Have the same attitude. We are not going to see things in the same way. You are different to me. My boys are different to their mother. Some of us don't mind leaving the washing in the sink. Others have to put it away. We think differently. Okay? But the key thing is, do we have the same attitude? And that attitude is one of humility. It's about not pleasing ourselves, but pleasing others. So, for example, if I live with somebody who really cannot cope with dirty dishes in the sink, my response is not to say it doesn't matter that those dishes are dirty and they're in the sink. My attitude should be, actually, if that upsets you, I will wash them up and put them away. I shouldn't really say this. If my wife gets upset, I shouldn't say this at all because this is now sort of rather coming home. Now, if my wife says, look, don't leave your clothes on the floor, well, perhaps I shouldn't leave my clothes on the floor. So, there's a little lesson for me. She's not too upset about it, thankfully. It's not a big deal. It's not likely to lead to us parting the ways, but I will have to bear that in mind. Because if I'm serious about it, I should be saying, look, I want to please her. It may not be, I don't give a monkeys about whether my clothes are on the floor or where they are, but perhaps she does care. So I have to respond accordingly. So that's a word to me. Now, having that same attitude, one of humility, not pleasing ourselves, but pleasing others. And we need to be working that out, you see. And Paul is saying there are two good reasons for doing this. One is the example of Jesus, and the other is the word of God. We see Jesus, I mean, that's that passage in Philippians 2, isn't it? Have the mind of Christ, who didn't claim to be, you know, grasp equality with God, but rather he was willing to humble himself. That was one thought. And the other thought is that the Bible teaches us the truth. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instructions for right living. So I thought, what does that mean in practice? What does it mean for our relationships with one another? What is right living for a Christian, for the body of Christ? What does it mean in my relationship with other people? And so what I've done is I've gone through and had a look at lots of one another sayings. Okay, so I'm going to just put them up the screen, read them out as I go, and I'll try not to ramble on about any of them because they actually really speak for themselves. So right living, here's some texts as well. Romans 12 verse 10, show respect for one another. One of the things I often hear people saying is, you know, demanding respect. They'll say, respect me, respect me. Actually, that's not the way it works. It's I choose to respect somebody, not that people demand respect. I shouldn't demand respect from people. Rather, I should show respect to people. Show respect for one another. Romans 14:19. Strengthen one another. Spelt that wrong, sorry. Strengthen one another. Romans 15 and verse 7. Accept one another. How good are we at that? Accepting other people for who they are. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, well, I'll accept you if you're a bit different. We need to accept one another as we are. God accepts us as we are. He doesn't say, hang on a minute, I want you to get a bit better before you come into church. No, every one of us he accepts as we are, as fallen creatures, but who he loves. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Have the same concern for one another. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Agree with one another. You're going to say to me, well, how can we agree with one another when we see things differently? Well, I suppose we'd say we'll agree to differ. And I will accept you and your different view. That's how it works. We are not going to agree over everything. That's just an impossibility in the world we're in. Galatians 5 and verse 13, serve one another. You know, it's such a blessing as Christians serve one another. It can be in very ordinary things like serving a cup of tea. It can be in doing the garden. It can be doing practical stuff, admin stuff. It can be ringing somebody up and saying, how are you? Serve one another. Galatians 6 and verse 2, help to carry one another's burdens. We should be there for each other. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, be tolerant with one another. Some of you know that one of my favourite passages is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 and onwards, which actually makes this same point, that we are to be tolerant with one another. I'm going to ask myself as well, how tolerant am I with people, especially if they let you down, mess it up? actually we should be a tolerant people. These are all scriptures. This is God speaking to you and me. Be tolerant with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. I know I've mentioned this before, and again, I'm probably guilty myself on this one. But when I see, say, a husband and wife, or a parent and a child, and they're being unkind, I think to myself, that's very sad. I need to address myself as well on this one, okay? But, you know, perhaps one of the key things in a relationship is about being kind. You know, am I as a husband, are you as a husband, kind to your wife? It's a simple little word, but actually it's just so important. Are you kind to one another? Am I kind and tender-hearted? Forgive one another. People will let us down. I'll let people down. Do we forgive one another? You know what? That is absolutely essential. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we forgive those who trespass against us. I want you to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, is there anybody I'm not forgiving? Now, I can almost guarantee that if there's somebody you're not forgiving, you can justify it. You can say, would you forgive them when that's what they've done to you? Would you forgive them? You can justify it, but not biblically. Forgive one another. Submit yourselves to one another. This comes in that interesting passage in Ephesians 5 where it talks about wives submit to your husbands. But actually, that verse comes before that. It's not just saying, right, wives, you submit. It says submit to one another. Have that attitude of submission. Don't think you're better and can lord it over people. Jesus didn't come to lord it over people. He came to serve. He actually submitted himself to the cross. Submit yourselves to one another. Have kindness and compassion for one another. Be humble towards one another. Look, we're in that Philippians 2 passage. Very key, that is. Look out for one another's interests. Encourage one another. Who knows where that verse... Well, it's 1 Thessalonians 4:18. What's the context? Anybody know? What's the context? Second coming. It's about when the Christians are uncertain about the future. What's happened to those who have died? And Paul says, I want you to know the truth about those who have died. The time will come when the Lord comes again is that we will meet with them and together we will see the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. Do you know what Paul was saying? Encourage one another with the truth. Encourage them by bringing the word of God into their lives. When they're saying, oh, I'm useless, I'm no good, I'm just a failure. You say, do you know what? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved you. You're precious in God's sight. Encourage one another with the truth. Help one another. You know, it's such a blessing when we're perhaps wanting things to happen at church. And the floating shelter is a good example of this. That, you know, there are one or two people that are heading this up. That's Barbara, Frank and Vivia. And they look for people to help. Okay? And it is such a blessing when people say, I'll help. I'll do an evening. I'll cook a meal. I'll be there for the breakfast. I'll wash up. It's such a blessing when there's a shortage of people in the kitchen, right, on a Sunday. And I say, can somebody help? I'll help. I'll do that. Okay, help one another. You know, being a Christian, being part of the body, is being part of a body. Many of us live in a family one way or another. And if you've got kids in your family and you say to them, could you cut the grass? Could you do this? No, I'm doing that. No, I'm just coming in. I'm eating my meals. I'm going to bed. And you do the rest of it, Dad or Mum. They think, well, hang on a minute. You know, don't we all have a part to play here? You know, it's like that with church. It's not about saying, I'll come along, I'll go out, that's it. Help one another. Do good to one another. Not too many. Do not criticize one another. Do not criticize one another. Who can honestly put their hand up and say, no, I never ever criticize anybody else in church? Do you know, every time I come in, I think how wonderful everybody is. I don't ever criticize the music. I never criticize the preaching. You know, the people who do the prayers, but at the back doing the PA, nothing to criticize. I wouldn't criticize it. How many of us are like that? Or do we go out and think, oh, I don't know, they should have played that hymn a bit faster, should have played it a bit slower, should have had 3 verses instead of 10. You know, whatever. Do not criticize one another. Now, I'm not saying that if things are wrong, and things are wrong sometimes, that we shouldn't bring it to, if you like, our attention. It's to do with attitude, isn't it? You know, am I building others up? And then if I am, then it's okay to say, look, I just wonder if, and can I help you in that? Okay? Do not criticize one another. Do not, this is the Bible, okay? This is not me. I'm not getting up here banging my drum. What I'm doing is just saying, this is what the Bible says. Do not complain against one another. You know, it's amazing that here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ, but we do complain about one another and against one another. It's a challenge, isn't it? And then I think this is the last one. Be kind and humble with one another. Be kind and humble with one another. See, this is what it is. It's the practical working out of what it means to be a Christian and living it out in the church. It's how do we relate to one another? Do we accept one another? Forgive one another? Are we kind to one another? Do we help one another? Do we forgive one another? You know, that's the nitty-gritty of it. Do we accept each other when they don't do things like we do it? We're going to be different. But it's about how we relate to one another. That's the key. We're members one of another, the body of Christ. And together, if we are doing what God wants, then as Paul says here at the end of this passage, may God, the source of patience and encouragement, enable you to have the same point of view among yourselves by following the example of Christ Jesus, so that all of you together may praise with one voice the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to try and put yourselves in the place of God, okay? I know that's not actually very easy to do, but I just want you to imagine how God feels when he is looking upon a congregation, okay? As they get up and they're singing, Jesus is Lord, but they'd be singing it in tune, whatever, singing together and praising him. And then he's saying to himself, well, hang on a minute, folks. You know, you're praising me with these words. Are you complaining about one another? Are you loving one another? Are you serving one another? Are you helping one another? Are you forgiving one another? Are you complaining? What are you doing? How are you with one another? What do you think God thinks? Do you think, oh, they're all in tune, and I like that tune. It's a nice song. That's great. Well, I'll give Christ Church a big tick because they're singing really well. Or do you think he's looking for something else? Lord God, we do know that we fall short. And I know that I fall short on this one. Well, in many ones. But Lord, help us to seek to have the attitude that Jesus Christ had. One of humility. Help us to serve and love one another. And Lord, you know what it is about all of us, the things that we struggle with a bit at times. By your grace and by your Spirit, I pray that you would help us to be more like the people you want us to be, so that as we sing your praises, so you know that our hearts are going in the right direction. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.